The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Welcome back to the Small Biz Ahead podcast. So, Gene, you had a book recommendation for listeners, and this is not a business book. This is a reading it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny you talk about reading books. I don't read business books. I very infrequently read business
You've
books.
You've written some business
yeah,
books.
Yeah, I've written six, but I read so much online, and I'm working on a new book right now, but I read so much online that businessy stuff that when it comes time to read.
Can you tell us what your new book is?
I'm putting the finishing touches on a book about surviving the recession.
The one that we just had.
No, the one that's coming. Eventually, there's going to be a recession.
You're already trying to cash in on the next recession.
That's exactly right. I've been thinking ahead, and I'm like, sometime between today and 5 years from now, there's going to be a recession.
So when do you think it's going
to
be?
I don't know. I mean, I hope it's never, but it will happen. And when it happens, I have a book ready to go. The minute that the stock market corrects 10% and we have two quarters, I think that's the technical thing, of two quarters of a declining GDP.
It's only two quarters?
I think it's two quarters of declining GDP is considered to be a recession. It will be, I'm going to immediately come out with the book.
Okay.
And it's because it's really, the book applies recession or not a recession, but it's geared more towards
now,
that.
Now, let me throw a curveball though. What if it's not a recession? What if it's a depression?
I'll just tweak the title a little bit. I mean, we're all set and ready to go with this, but it's going to be, you know, and then that way it'll be a very, very topical thing. And I think a lot of people will be very interested in reading it because it'll be like
this
high of mind.
This is a little cynical.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, so forget about the book recommendation. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not cynical. That's realistic. You talk to any business owner, and they know that whatever there are good times, there are always going to be bad times. And the smartest people that I meet are always looking at, there will be, Elizabeth, another recession at some point. Hopefully it won't be as terrible as the Great Recession that we had in 2009, but I promise you, there will be, there always is. And the smartest people I know are thinking about it and preparing for it now and then able to operate them way
so
their way
through. So how are they preparing now?
Well, the smartest people right now are, they're conserving cash,
okay,
right? And I'm not saying people are like hunkering down in bunkers, but they're
Doomsday
always
prepper style.
Right, nobody's doing that. What they're doing though is they are thinking and saying, what, you know, if I do see the winds blowing the other way and there's a recession, am I prepared to weather that storm? My book will be directed towards the people that aren't doing that right now. The ones that are in the recession and they're like, oh no, I haven't, you know, what do I do right now to like weather the storm now? That's what my book is geared at. So so that's like a future book recommendation.
Okay.
Very quickly, the one that I wanted to recommend that I'm reading right now is a book called The Time Traveler's Almanac.
That
it's
sounds good.
Not one author. It is it's a huge book of a bunch of time traveling short stories.
Okay.
And I love the topic of time travel. I think it's a fascinating. And it's the short stories are all the way from the late 19th century all the way through the current, you know, current day by dozens and dozens of authors, including Ray Bradbury, Martin, the guy from Game of Thrones.
George R.R. Martin.
George R.R. Martin. That's right. You know, him as well. Ray Bradbury, Isaac Asimov, and then a bunch of other science fiction
heroes. We'll put that in the show notes.
Really cool book.
What was that called again?
It's called The Time Traveler's Almanac.
Interesting.
Very
okay.
cool.
And we'll be right back with our question.
This podcast is brought to you by The Hartford. When the unexpected strikes, The Hartford strikes back for over 1 million small business customers with property, liability, and workers' compensation insurance. Check out The Hartford Small Business Insurance at thehartford.com.
Okay, this question is from Isabella, and she is from Colorado. She's a landscape designer. That's a cool job.
It is a cool job. And it could be a very profitable job.
Yeah.
Yep.
She writes, because no one wants to like.
Well, some people do, but some people are brilliant at it.
Yeah.
And it's a great business. Like any business, if you're good at it, make it into a profitable thing. So go ahead. What about Isabella?
She is asking about her vendor situation. She writes, I need a vendor for certain specialty items. Mm. How do I pick one? And how do I know that they're charging me a fair price? That's a good question.
It is. It is a good question. So let's address both at the same time. Okay. You're talking about picking one and doing a fair price. In her situation, I don't quibble. Like I don't beat up vendors. Like if you're buying something that's a commodity and you're in a flea market or a fruit stand or whatever, you know, okay, fine. You want to like haggle and whatever. It's like the Turkish bazaar thing.
Expect
you know,
that a little
people
bit.
Expect that. That's fine, whatever. But clearly she's a designer. She's hiring somebody to do something somewhat specialized. You know what I mean? It's like, or whatever. I hate it when customers haggle with me on our rates per hour. It drives me. When somebody says, how much will this be, Gene? And I'm like, well, we're $175 per hour. That's my best price. That's like what it is. Trying to mess around. It's just, it is what it is.
Well, you maybe know. She's picking between a couple different vendors and she's like, well, this one's really cheap and this one's expensive.
Right.
Is this one just pulling my leg or is this the real price? And maybe this one isn't that great. I mean,
in the end, though, I don't know if price should play as much importance to you long term as just your relationship with that vendor.
Okay.
If the price, you know, if the price is a little bit more expensive, then the assumption is you're going to get what you're paying for. You have to give the respect of the vendor and give them the benefit of the doubt that they want a long-term relationship with you as well. She's a landscape designer.
Yeah.
You know, this vendor probably doesn't want to be messing around with her. It's not some fly-by-night thing. So the idea is they're going to be giving you the best price they think that they can and trying to establish a relationship with that person. So I just think if I was Isabella, I'd be looking more at the quality of the work and the quality of the person or the firm that you want to work with. And honestly, I would not... The price is just going to be what it's going to be. And if you're doing landscape architecture or landscape design as she does, then she just needs to build that price into her projects and, you know, and include that in the cost to the customer. And that's just what it is. Okay. If she feels that she's being uncompetitive because the vendor's price is bumping up her prices too high, there's no reason why she can't go back to that vendor that she likes and say, listen, you know, I'm bidding on this job here. You know, your price is kind of high and it's going to potential. Neither of us are going to get this job.
Yeah.
If we, and so can you do anything about your price to make it more so we can both benefit
from
this?
So if someone came to you with that.
Yeah. I would consider it. Sure. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You wouldn't be offended.
No, not that I wouldn't be offended, especially if it's just transparent.
Yeah.
But when I just know somebody's just trying to save a buck or just cry, and I can't tell you how often that happens to me. I mean, we're a service firm. I can't tell you, Elizabeth, again, we're $175 an hour. There will be somebody that comes back to me, big companies, and they'll be like, oh, you know, can you listen? Your rates seem like a little high. And I know they're not high, by the way. They're right in the can you, you know, can we get any break on the price? Maybe $165. And I'm like, really, really? That $10 an hour is really, I'm in this little business here for this 50 hour job. And you want to take $10 an hour away from me for you. You're more. It drives me nuts. It really does. And I usually never cave on something like that. But if somebody were to come to...
We've got to pay people.
I got to pay people. We're a small business and I'm giving you my best good faith price. I'm not trying to mess you around. That's, you know, and I truly, maybe I'm naive, but I truly believe that the vast majority of business people are like that. They're giving their best price. And the other thing is when you're dealing with vendors and it's a long-term relationship, if you sit there and you're nickel and diming your vendors, it just annoys them and angers them. And then it's just, that's not a very good recipe for a long-term relationship, you know? And if I have a customer that comes to me and haggles me down, and then, I don't know, I've got a competing job going on and a couple of dollars, this guy's going to get lower priority because I'm like, this guy's like kind of a jerk. You know, he's $10 an hour. He's just, you know, this other guy's paying my rates and, you know, so anyway, I wouldn't haggle. I would focus more on the relationship than the price.
All right. Good advice. We'll be back with Gene's Word of Brilliance.
Did you know that it takes 26 minutes to recover from a minor distraction? If you're looking to become an even more productive business owner, Small Biz Ahead has you covered. Our new ebook, 21 Days to Be a More Productive Small Business Owner, will help you set a course to supercharge your work days and maximize your hours. You'll learn how to find the most productive time of day for certain tasks, which parts of your life you can automate, when to hire a virtual assistant, how to batch work to increase productivity, and more. Head over to smallbizahead.com and click the link in the show notes to download your free copy today.
And we're back with a word of brilliance that might be a little controversial.
Profanity. That's the word. Get ready. Get ready, Hartford legal team. No, don't worry. I'm not going to mention any of the profane words, as tempted as I am. Recent news is Samuel Smith's, which is a large chain of pubs in again, we're in England. We podcast after podcast. Yeah. We keep going back to England, Australia. I don't know why that is, but all right. They're a chain of pubs in England, and they have about 200 pubs around the country. They just issued a no profanity rule in their pubs. people are not allowed
That's
to swear.
That's going
to
be very hard to enforce.
Right?
In
I mean, you know, it's the pub. I mean, you're like, how do you, my God, how politically correct do we have to get
why?
Here?
What's the thought behind
well,
it?
Well, here is the reason why. In England, times have changed, okay? We're not talking about saloons anymore or these pubs with sawdust on the floor where people chew tobacco and, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. The world has changed. And most of the pubs in England now are corporate owned and they're not.
That's kind of sad.
It's changed. What can I tell you? Sad or not, it's just that's what the reality is. And besides them being corporate owned, they've turned into more family styled restaurants, pubs as well. In fact, you go into certain pubs, they're all serving food now and they want to welcome younger people and families into them because that's where their business is. And you know, they believe, Samuel Smith does, that patrons coming in there and getting loud and cursing and all that is not acceptable or appropriate in their establishments. And if you're going to do that, you're going to be kicked out.
And how do the British feel about that?
So, you know, as you can imagine, there's been uproar on social media and a lot of people are upset about it. And of course, some people kind of get it. And, you know, here, the reason why I found that interesting from a small business perspective is a lot of us at small businesses, we want to sort of make a stand. We want to have certain rules. We want to have dress codes. We want to tax men for eating in our cafes. We want to, you know what I mean? We want to write like the man tax,
yes,
you know,
yes.
woman.
We discussed that a couple.
Previous podcast, we you know there are you know we do want to do different things. Fair enough. Most of the time as a small business person, we do things seat of the pants. Trust me when I tell you, and I don't know this for sure, but trust me. Samuel Smith is a big corporation, a big chain. They did plenty of market research, plenty of it, and invested in a lot of consultants to come back with recommend. They might be wrong, but they came back with a lot of data that basically said, if you limit profanity in your restaurants, if you do that, you that based on your demographics of people coming in and the demographics of people you want to attract, you will be able to increase your business this way. And so Samuel Smith decided to make that sort of controversial move based on facts and data, the best that they had, in order to grow their business. Sometimes we as business owners don't do that. Actually, not sometimes, most of the time, right? We make decisions based on emotions or on some political beliefs or on some value system or ethical thing that we're behind, it's not based on any data at all. It's just based on, you know, on passion. And I think that's all well and good. But in the end, Samuel Smith was doing it not because they wanted to run a cleaner place. They were doing it because they wanted to increase their profits.
Yeah.
And as business owners, I think we always have to keep that in mind, that if we're going to institute sort of rules on our customers like that, I'm hoping that we're going to do that most of the time because we think it will be profitable for our business. Not just because
it's our
emotions. Right. Right. Or trying to make a point or, you know, so I don't want to let anybody in my store who's wearing a flannel shirt because I hate flannel shirts, you know, do your research first and think hard before you make a decision like that. Trust me, when big corporations make decisions like this, it's based on data.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. We'll be back in a couple days.
See you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Gene for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.